All right, it's good to have each one of you here tonight, and it was a beautiful day, a little cool, but it was nice, wasn't it? And so some of you told me that you took naps this afternoon, and for those of you that did, that's good. A nap is good. All righty. Okay, we'll continue on with 2 Samuel chapter 13. Tonight we'll be in verses 28 to 39. I've titled this Hate, Treachery, and Emotions. Hate, Treachery, and Emotions. Last week we talked about how to plan a murder. And so we dealt with that. And Absalom had it all figured out, how he going to plan a murder. And so we're going to deal with the fact that it worked out for him. He got Amnon murdered. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I want to bring out just one thing to you to start off with. It's always been interesting to me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, dear Lord, for this opportunity to teach and preach the Word of God. Thank you for those that are here tonight. And Lord, we pray that you'd grant us a filling of the Holy Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, for your service, we ask, dear God, that you'd open our understanding, that we might understand the Scriptures. And Father, may we never forget the words of Jesus when he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And so, Lord, we are totally 100% dependent, not independent, dependent upon you. And so now, Lord, take this message and the messenger, use us both tonight in the lives of the people that are here. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. One of the things that I want to deal with tonight before we get started into this is that when Absalom was going to have this sheep shearing festival, we find that in chapter 13, verse 23, he said, and it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal Hazor. Now, for those of you that don't recognize this, I've never been taught this before. At any time in the Old Testament where you see the word Baal in front of a city, all right, like Baal Hazor, that means that that city is a worshiper of the idol Baal, all right? And so when it talks about Baal worship and all that goes along with all of that stuff, like this town right here, Baal Hazor, that's where he was going to have this sheep shearing thing. And so Hazor was a town that was given to Baal. Baal was their god. That's why the name Baal is there, all right? And you'll look through your Bible and you'll find Baal Peor and Baal this, Baal that. That means that city was given over to that particular god, and so one of them old idols. And so he's going to go to a wicked place to do a wicked thing. And he was plotting and planning. And so I'm just going to start off with this tonight because there's just a series of things we've got to deal with. But there's one thing I want to say to you right up front. There's all kinds of illustrations about the children in a home, but there's one thing that's a fact. Children are quicker to imitate the vices rather than the virtues of the parents. And never forget that the children are quicker to imitate the vices than the virtues of the parents. And so David has done what he's done. The curse has fallen on the family. There's all kinds of issues happening here. So let's begin. And we're going to be looking at verses 28 to 39 tonight. And there's a few things that I'm going to bring to your attention for a reason. A very important reason, matter of fact. Now, let's read verse 28. It said, now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant. Now, first thing I want you to see is when somebody's plotting wickedness like this, they always want someone else to do their dirty work. And what you see here is he says, you guys do this. Be courageous. All right, now you see that? Now look at it. I'm going to show you something here now. All right? He tells them, fear not, have not I commanded you, be courageous and be valiant. That's what he says, right? You got it? I'm going to make sure y'all got that in your head. You got it? All right. Now, watch this. Now, go down to verse 34. Look at the first three words. But Absalom fled. All right? Now, look at verse 37. But Absalom fled. See that? Look at verse 38. So Absalom fled. Well, bless his heart, he was wanting somebody else to be courageous, but he took off. You see, truth always comes out, doesn't it? One way or another. And so what we find in this thought here, I want you to realize this, that there's some really wicked stuff going on here. Jonadab, as the devil, we'll talk about him in a second, but he's the type of person that you don't need and you don't want to influence yourself or your family. So I like this. Fear not, have not I commanded you? Be courageous and valiant. You kill him, I'm running. I'm leaving. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man got him up upon his mule and fled. Well, they were afraid. But you know something? I've underlined this next verse for a reason. In verse 30 it said, and it came to pass, while they were in the way, that tidings came to David saying, Absalom has slain all the king's sons, and there is not one of them left. How fast can a lie travel? I mean, what a truth. Years ago, there was a song. I hate to tell you this, but anyway, it just come into my mind. But the song said, bad news travels like wildfire, and good news travels slow. that was part of the song. And but what a truth it is, isn't it? And it was a lie. Whoever told him that lied to him. But boy, it was quick, wasn't it? You see, there's things that surround bad things that pervert everything. How fast does a lie travel? Quick. You know what? There's an old statement about the fact that wicked people know how fast a good lie will travel. And they use that because they know the truth will travel slow, but a lie will travel quick. So let's just keep telling the lies, and the lies will travel so fast, it'll overcome the truth. One of the old people of the past, he said, the lie is the rabbit, the hare, and the truth is the turtle. There's something to that. Verse 31, then the king arose and tore his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. Responding to the lie. So what you have now, you've got David responding to the lie. Not the truth, the lie. One of the reasons that we need to take the time to find out the truth about something is because if we don't, we'll be just like David. We will respond to a lie rather than the truth. And so the devil himself works off of that premise many times. The devil wants us to respond to the lie, not to the truth. That's why it's so important for you and me to make sure that we get our information from a good source, amen, like the Word of God. Because if we don't, we'll wind up responding to a lie rather than the truth. Well, David heard that. Then the king arose, tore his garments, lay on the floor. Man, David responded to the lie. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what the devil wants us to do, to respond to the lie. Whether you lie to yourself under the influence of that, or somebody else lies to you, makes no difference. The devil wants you and me to respond to the lie. The worst problem, worst scenario, is the reality that most of us lie to ourselves. Uh-huh. And you get somebody that's convinced of their own lie, you're going to have a hard time trying to convince them otherwise. Good. And that lie travels really quick. All right, now let's talk about this guy named Jonadab as the devil. All right? Now that's my take on this thing for several reasons. Now watch what he does. And Jonadab, the son of Shemaiah, David's brother. Now, Jonadab is the one that told Amnon, do this, right? Now all of a sudden, it appears that Jonadab's got some inside information here, doesn't he? Jonadab kept the secret, didn't he? Jonadab never told David, well, I told him to do that. I gave Amnon the idea to do what he did. He didn't do that, did he? But evidently, he had had some conversations with Absalom because he knew what Absalom was going to do. Let's read this now. Let me show you something. And Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons. For Amnon only is dead, for by the appointment of Absalom, this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Whoa! Jonadab had been in conversation and cahoots with Absalom, hadn't he? You know something? The last thing you need around you, and the last thing I need around me, and the last thing we need around us is somebody that has a secret life around us. Amen. We don't need that. For the people around us that have their own secret life, you have no idea what's going on, but I guarantee you, it'll affect you eventually. It'll get into your house, your home, your head. I mean, this guy was a conniving rat. He understood. He said, look at it. This thing has been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Why don't he tell David the truth? Why don't he tell him, hey, since the day that he done what I told him to do, you know, and he wound up doing that. No, 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 no. Read the next verse, verse 33. Now therefore let not my lord the king take the thing to his heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. Wow. Jonadab knew this. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we need people around us that's going to expose wickedness, not help it and hide it.
Amen.
And what you have with Jonadab, you had somebody here in this family named Jonadab. He promoted wickedness. He hid wickedness. And he kept wickedness secret. Why didn't he go tell David up front? Hey, I just want to tell you something, David. Absalom has got it planned to kill Amnon sometime. But he didn't do it, did he? Absalom, no matter what it says, for by the appointment of Absalom, this has been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. In other words, man, he's had this information for a couple of years. But have you ever been around somebody that always told you something after the fact? I don't know about you, but sometimes that really irritates me. You tell me after the fact. Why didn't you tell me before? You see, boy, you don't need people like that in your life. What you need is people that's going to be upfront and honest with you. You don't need people to tell you something after the fact. Do we? No, 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 no. And so what we find then is this event has taken place. It was plotted. It was planned. It was going to happen. God had put a curse in the family of David. And look at this. Boy, when you follow the life of Jonadab, we're going to look more at this guy. But I want you to realize I'm looking at a story here tonight that it just kind of makes you want to stop and look around at everybody around you. Like, is there a Jonadab around me? If there is, let me get away from him. All right. Let's get into kind of the heart of this thing now. Now let's look at verse 34 and 35. But Absalom fled, and the young man that kept the watch lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there came much people by the way of the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said unto the king, behold, the king's sons come, as thy servant said, so it is. Now he's playing the part of the good prophet. Now he's playing the part of the good guy. See, I told you they would all show up. See that? Isn't it amazing how somebody like Jonadab in your life always tries to establish himself? Isn't it something how the Jonadabs in our lives always strive boy, to establish themselves in our heart and our minds. Isn't it something how they try to establish themselves to get us to accept them? He said it, then he turns around and says, and Jonadab said, behold, the king's son has come, as thy servant said, so it is. See that? In other words, hey, you can trust me. You can trust me. See, I told you that was going to happen, and here they come. And all the time he knew. A deceptive, manipulating person is a dangerous person. One fellow described another guy. He said he's possessive, controlling, but he's a first-class manipulator. Now that is a dangerous person. So we find that there's something else about Jonadab I want you to see. Jonadab is willing to help people. Had it all figured out a while ago, but I reckon I'll just say it like this. Jonadab knows how to get around a circumstance. He knows how to get around a situation. Manipulating people, people that's all about themselves like Jonadab, they know how to manipulate a circumstance. What was it? Amnon, man, he loved Tamar, he said, but he couldn't figure out how to get close to her, could he? Nope, he couldn't figure it out. It wasn't going to work out. They had the rules they had to live by. But Jonadab took advantage of his own weakness, of Amnon's weakness, of Amnon's lust, and said, well, why don't you do this? And that's what Amnon did. The Jonadabs in our lives, you might be looking at a circumstance, but the Jonadabs in our lives always have a way of telling you how to get around that circumstance. How to get over it. How to get past it. How to get underneath it, over it, whatever it is. But it's only going to create something worse. Like it did right here. Jonadab will walk away from it. But Amnon will get killed because of it. In other words, Jonadab passes out information that could get you killed. There's some things in my life that I just said, I ain't doing that, period. And I've had a lot of people say, well, come do this, come do that. I've said, no, I ain't doing that. No. You know what? There's some things in your life. Listen, if somebody tries to tell you how to get around a circumstance so you can fulfill your lust, your desire, your selfishness, or whatever it is, I tell you what you better do. You better go away and leave them alone, not listen to them, because it's only going to turn out to be trouble for you and no trouble for them. We've seen that in your life, haven't you? There's a, boy, I could spend a long time on this. All right, go to verse 36. And it came to pass, there's that statement. Look up in verse 30. And it came to pass. Then down here, and it came to pass. As soon as he made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. You know, if David, let me say this to you. There's a lot of books written that talk about the fact that if you've got sin in your life, you have a hard time doing what's right when it comes to the people around you that have sin in their lives. I mean, if you're a liar, you have a hard time. Well, I lied about this and this and this. He lied to me. Well, I can't say nothing because I'm a liar. Well, I'm a thief. Well, I can tell him to stop, but I really can't force the issue because I'm a thief. You know, I'm this, so I really can't force the issue because that's what I am. That's where David was. The reason David could not do what he was should have been doing was because he was guilty of it himself. Well, learn the lesson. If you've got sin in your private life, you're going to wind up tolerating sin in other people's lives. The closer you get to God, the more you'll condemn sin in your own life and condemn sin in other people's lives. That's all there is to it. Because the closer you get to God, the more the sin in your own life will stink in your own nostrils. The closer you get to God, the worse the sin in your life will affect you. The closer you get to God, the worse the sin in your life is going to seem to you. You'll see it. You'll hear it. You'll go to bed with it. You'll get up with it. You'll work with it all day long. But the other thing is this. The sin in your own life will silence you. The sin in your own life will silence you. Over the years, I've known preachers. They got out of the ministry. All because of this. One guy said, "How can I go to the pulpit and preach when I've got sin in my own life?" And the only thing I could say was, I agree with you. There's a reality to this. You see, David's own sin corrupted his own family. And then David's own sin silenced him while his family was doing the very same thing that he had done. All right, go to verse 37. Here's that statement again. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amilhud, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. Now, I titled this message tonight, this passage of Scripture. Hate, treachery, and emotions. So we get down here to the bottom, and here's emotions. And David mourned for his son every day. You know, I can see David wanting to see Absalom, but there's something about this you need to see. David was blinded by his own emotions to the truth of what had taken place. Look what it says. He mourned for his son every day. His son was a murderer. His son plotted and planned a murder and then worked it out. David's emotions One old divine said, well, don't worry about the words David mourned for his son. He said, you better look at those last two words and circle them and highlight them and cut them out and put them on your refrigerator. Tape them to your mirror. Those last two words said, every day. There's things that'll happen in your life that you'll have to deal with almost every day of your life. There's things in your past that you're going to have to deal with every day of your life. One man said, there's regrets that we have to deal with every day of our lives. There's a reality to this. Even though David was mourning, he wasn't mourning the fact that Amnon was dead. We'll see that here in just a second. But his son was a murderer. And David mourned for his son every day. Listen. What a parent can do is so tragic at times that they'll live with it every day of their life. They'll see it in the life of their children. They'll look into the mirror. They'll see it in their own lives. They'll look at their family as a whole and see it in their lives. No wonder the old preacher said, look at the last two words, every day. There's a lot of things that might bother us from time to time. But when something bothers us every day, we say it haunts me. Every day of my life, it haunts me. It's there every day of my life. I talked to a German soldier. He was a guard at one of the concentration camps during the Second World War. He died by suicide eventually. Lived right down the road from us in Germany. He said that every day of his life, since the end of the war. He can still see the faces of the men and the women and the children. He said, I can still hear their cries. I still see their faces. And after all those years, he finally took his own life. Listen, there's things. Why is it that a parent, a man or a woman, or a man and woman, the parents, why is it that we should be so diligent in looking out for our family? Because if we don't, you'll find out the outcome of that will be there'll be things that will haunt you every day. Not some days, every day. I knew this fellow that just worked 24/7. I mean, man, I reckon I should say he worked 25/8. I was standing there when this woman was standing there talking to him that knew him. She looked him in the face and she said, he said, oh, I work. Well, she knew that. She'd known the family for a long time. But she asked a question and I thought to myself, I'll never forget this. I will never forget this. As long as I don't even have to write it down, I'll never forget it. She looked at that man and said this. She said, that's right, you do. You work 25/8 all the time. And he said, yeah, I do. Her next question was this. She said, what are you running from? She said, what are you running from? She said, the only reason a human works 25/8, runs all the time, goes, cause he or she or they are running from something. She said, what are you running from? Well, the question was most devastating, but the reaction of the guy was what got me. I've told her many times, learn to ask the right question. Learn to ask the right question. The guy started crying and walked off. There was something in his life. He wasn't going to tell it. But the only thing he found peace in was working and running 24/7. That's where he found his peace. And boy, when she said, what are you running from? That nailed him. You see, and David mourned for his son every day. Every day. We try to mask so much of our lives, don't we? Now, I suffer from severe tinnitus. Severe. Right now, I hear 10,000 crickets. Sometimes it'll get, I can handle the crickets because it makes me think about going fishing. But it's that whistling and swooshing sound that drives me nuts. And, the only time I have any peace is when I go to sleep. It's not happening. Or if I'm trying to listen to some music, then I can listen to some music and I can listen to the music rather than this. But you know something? It's there all the time. All the time. Every day. And you see, David mourned for his son every day. What was he mourning over? That was the other question I had. Let me dig around in all these books I got and see if one of them will address that issue. If he's mourning over him, why? Was it because he just hadn't seen him? Was it because of the whole situation? Was it because he was now a murderer? Why was he mourning over him? I mean, if it's because you hadn't seen him, well, then send somebody to go see him, get him. Well, that's fixing to happen. But not because David thought of it. So before I move on, I just want you to know something. David mourned for his son every day. Every day. Beware. Sir, beware. Ma'am, beware, parents. You're liable to bring something into your life, your home, in your children's lives that'll cause you to mourn every day. Every day. Not some days, every day. Verse 38. So Absalom fled. Three times we have this, that Absalom took off. And went to Geshur and was there 3 years. Now listen, let's deal with something right now. Why did Absalom flee? Why did Absalom take off? You know why? Because Absalom thought that his dad would kill him for killing Amnon. But the truth of it is, his dad should have killed Amnon. The law required it. But he didn't do it, did he? No. Absalom even addresses that issue. But Absalom thought, all right, I've done it. Now he'll kill me. Didn't kill him, but he'll kill me. Isn't it amazing how people that do wrong assume so much on somebody else's part? You know, the Bible teaches you and me that to the wicked, all things are wicked. Isn't that right? To the wicked, all things are wicked. So guess what? The wicked people, you know what the wicked people think? They think you're wicked. The liars around you think you're a liar. And the thief around you thinks you're a thief. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. Now watch this. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, saying he was dead. Well, David finally just marked Amnon off the list and went on. But he said, look at this. And the soul of the King David longed to go forth unto Absalom. Well, that's going to be another problem, isn't it? Listen. Who is it that... Now, I'm going to set the stage for something else. When we move on from this, he wanted to see Absalom. Well, Absalom's going to move in just right down the road, right? And Absalom's going to be there a couple of years, but David will never go see him. David longed to go forth unto Absalom. What's Absalom going to try to do to David as time goes by here? He's going to try to take his place, isn't he? You know something? What you're going to see here is this. you're going to see David. Isn't it the whole thing? I've brought this out to your attention already. That amazes me. In all of these circumstances, David becomes the enabler. Amnon would have never got to Tamar if it hadn't been for David. Amnon would have never wound up with Absalom if it hadn't been for David. Absalom would have never wound up in a position to try to take the king's place if it wasn't for the king. Isn't it amazing how parents become the enablers? And then they complain about the child. Get it? There's a lot of sermons preached about Absalom being the first hippie that hung himself. They say he was a long-haired hippie. As I bring this to a close, I now want to do something. Why is it that the Word of God gives us this time schedule? And Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. Well, you know something? He's going to come back home. He's going to be there a couple of years too. It took him 2 years to plot and plan on how to kill Amnon. Then he's going to stay 3 years away from King David. Some people think that time, just time, heals deep emotional wounds. That's how I put it at the top here, hate, treachery, and emotion. They think they never apologize for anything. The only thing they do, they just grab the loot and run. They think time heals the heart. And it doesn't. No, there's a lot of things that'll heal the heart. There's a lot of things that can bring emotional stability. There's a lot of things, but especially one thing, one person, Jesus Christ, can heal the heart. Jesus Christ can heal the emotions. Jesus Christ can heal the hurt. Jesus Christ can calm the torment of every day. Jesus Christ is the answer. The fact is, though, boy, many parents like David. Oh, I just want to see him. I want to go talk to him, move him down the street here, so on. But guess what? We'll get into this soon. But if there's not some movement on both persons' actions, the emotions will never be healed. Never. And guess what? In this situation, there was never a, I'm sorry. There was never any sincerity. You see, as long As long as Absalom was away from King David, everything was fine. David just wanted to see him. But boy, when Absalom come back, and then there was no contact between David and Absalom. Absalom became bitter. Absalom wanted to rule. Absalom wanted to be king. And I end with this tonight. It could have been different, David, if you'd have just walked down the street and talked to Absalom. But it wasn't, was it? And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom. Didn't happen. Somebody else went and got him. But it didn't change anything. It didn't change the relationship. Now listen to me, and I'm done. The last point is this. Closeness in physical contact does not change the relationship. There's a lot of relationships where people are close to one another, but they just tolerate one another. All you have to do is watch them. I mean, every time they get close to one another, man, it's just sparks flying everywhere. Right? All you're waiting for is somebody throw a little gas on it. Poof, it's gone. You see, the reality of it is this. Absalom lived right down the street. David lived right up there. But you know what? There was never any true contact between the two. So that left Absalom just to boil, man, just getting madder and madder and madder about things. Dad wanted me to come back here, but I've been here 2 years and he hadn't seen me. You see, David longed to go forth into Absalom. David mourned for his son every day. But now listen to me. David did not have no real loving relationship with Absalom, did he? No, he didn't. He had no contact with him. The thing that makes the difference is sincerity in a relationship. So many people cheat themselves out of so much in life because they never open themselves up to the sincerity of an honest, faithful, loving, caring relationship. It's tragic when people cheat themselves out of so much. Oh, I've watched that over the years. And it's just grievous to watch people cheat themselves out of so much, all because they're so stuck on themselves that they don't have the ability to have a relationship outside of themselves. One Christian psychologist said this: the person that cannot have a good relationship on the outside of themselves is because they can't have a good relationship with themselves. Boy, what a truth that is. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Next week, we're going to put a cap on this. And it's going to, boy, is it going to be revealing. It's going to be so revealing. We're going to take this information here and show you how it translates into conflict, how it translates into disaster, how it translates into something that affects everybody. Remember something, you cannot have conflict in your heart and it not be manifested in your family. And you cannot have conflict in your family and it not be manifested to the people around you. Now that is a fact. Time's gone. Let's all stand if you would please. This hour is gone. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll take a couple of minutes and come back and have our business meeting. We got to keep in line with the government. All right. So that's very, very important. Okay, let's go to tell you.